puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, we're getting our money's worth from Gordon Goldsborough this week, because not only is he here to tell us about an upcoming award ceremony that listeners might want to nominate someone for, but also the figure behind the awards. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Nadia. Yes, it's somebody I think everybody should know about.
So tell us about the clue on what we're talking about today.
Well, 12 days from now, on Friday, the 26th of February, nominations will be due for one of Canada's oldest literary awards. And this one specifically recognizes excellence in writing about Manitoba history. The award is called the Margaret McWilliams Award.
So the question is, who is or was Margaret McWilliams?
It was, actually. Yes, Margaret was born in Toronto in 1875, and she graduated from the University of Toronto in 1898. She began a career in journalism before she married a lawyer named Roland McWilliams. In 1910, the couple moved to Winnipeg, where Margaret became active in, well, a whole variety of ways, actually. She wrote books on Canadian politics. She represented Canada at international conferences, and she was a staunch advocate for a university education, especially for women. She was the founding president of the Canadian Federation of University Women, and the first vice president of the International Federation of University Women. What's particularly noteworthy, I think, is that in 1933, she became only the second woman to sit on the Winnipeg City Council. And there she chaired the important health and unemployment relief committees during the height of the Great Depression. But I think the only reason that she stepped down from the City Council in 1940 was to assume an even more prominent public role.
What was that?
Well, in 1940, Roland McWilliams became the Lieutenant Governor of Manitoba, and so therefore she became the First Lady of Government House. That's the official residence of the Lieutenant Governor on the grounds of the Legislative Building. So for 12 years, the McWilliamses hosted public functions and represented Manitoba to the world. When Margaret died suddenly in 1952 at the age of 77, eulogies referred to her long record of public service and activism, for which she had received an honorary doctorate from the University of Manitoba. But you know, she is still held in widespread esteem as an early Manitoba feminist. Just a few weeks ago, she was recognized by the Nellie McClung Foundation as a Manitoba woman trailblazer.
Now, given that the awards are in her name and that they're for history, does she have a special affinity for history?
Yes, indeed. So in 1928, she wrote a book entitled Manitoba Milestones. It's been described as one of the most detailed and balanced accounts of Manitoba's history to that point. In 1944, she played a key role in resuscitating the Manitoba Historical Society after it had become inactive in the mid-1930s. And in fact, she served as the Manitoba Historical Society's president for 4 years, from 1944 to 1948.
And you also described the McWilliams Awards as one of Canada's oldest literary awards. When were they introduced then?
The first awards were presented in February 1956, about 3 years after she had passed away, by Roland McWilliams in a ceremony at the Legislative Building. Now, Wikipedia lists about 50 literary awards having some connection to Canada, and some of the more well-known ones that listeners may recall include the Governor General's Literary Awards. That's perhaps the oldest one in Canada. It was introduced in 1936. We have the John Defoe Book Prize from 1984, the McNally Robinson Book of the Year Award, 1989, the Giller Prize, 1994, and now there's more than a dozen awards in the Manitoba Book Awards that are presented annually, but the only one that is specifically about Manitoba and its history is the Margaret McWilliams Award.
And how many works have received one of these awards over the years?
The MHS has presented 350 McWilliams Awards over the 65-year history of the program, about five each year. The recipients are an exceptionally diverse group representing all sorts of facets of Manitoba history. I've often said that the list of McWilliams Award winners, which, by the way, is available on the MHS website, mhs.mb.ca /McWilliams is a veritable who's who of Manitoba history, and at a good place for anyone wanting recommendations for reading material to start.
And how are they selected, the award recipients?
Well, copies of the nominated books go to a 5-person jury who reads them all and select what they think are the best 3 submissions in each of 3 categories: scholarly book, popular book, and local book. Now, more than one award may be given in a particular category if there are ties, and awards will not be given in a particular category if the jury feels there is no clear winner.
Now, these awards are all going to books, and I'm wondering if other media, such as kind of blogs, websites, exhibits, or even videos, are eligible or included.
Well, we have in past years invited nominations in these other media, and we do intend to introduce them again next year. The awards haven't been presented for a few years, and in resuming them this year, we felt that we needed to make a modest start. Now, I don't mean to imply that those other media are frivolous, not at all. But books are often a culmination of many years of research. So we think they're a significant contribution to the documentation of Manitoba history that should be recognized.
And what do award recipients receive?
In the distant past, they received a bronze medal about 2 inches in diameter that was inscribed with their name and the year. In fact, I have in my personal collection one of the first 6 medals that was issued at that ceremony in 1956 to a 49-year-old teacher from Winkler named Frank Brown for his essay on the history of Winkler. Mr. Brown won a 2nd McWilliams Award in 1975 for his comprehensive book on the history of Winkler. Now, eventually, the medals were replaced by framed certificates. Today, recipients receive, in addition to that certificate, a cash prize of $500.
And who can apply for these awards?
Nominations are normally submitted by the publisher or author of a particular book. But if one of our listeners feels strongly that a certain book should be nominated, they could help by urging its publisher or author to submit a nomination. You know, send them an email, give them a phone call and say, hey, how about applying for the McWilliams? There's no charge for nominations, but there is a cost because we do require 5 copies of the book for the jury members to read. Now, a list of all nominated books will be available on the MHS website soon after the deadline. As I said, it's Friday, the 26th of February.
And if someone's interested, how do they apply?
There is a form available on the MHS website, and it lists all the requisite information that we asked the people making the nomination to provide.
When will the results be known then?
Well, we plan to present the awards at our annual general meeting in late June. And of course, after that, we'll add all of the names of the recipients to the cumulative list that is on our website.
Gordon, thank you for this. What's up for next week?
Well, we're going to talk about a vacant building here in Winnipeg that, if you believe old stereotypes, was a favorite of police officers.
Thanks so much, Gordon.
Great. We'll talk again next week. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.